Good evening to all our loyal listeners. This is another episode of Evolutionary.org Raw Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Smee, with the Mason, checking in from Evolutionary.org headquarters. We have six fantastic topics ahead, so let's get started. The first one is relationship question. So, Matt, are you ready for this one?
Ooh, after last week, I think I'm all geared up for it, bud.
All right, so let's pull up the first one to hit my inbox. Wow, we got 50 emails that already came into the show. So let me pull up the first one randomly. It's Travis from Oklahoma. He says, "Dear Steve and Matt, this one is a crazy story, but true. It was even on our local news in my small town. I have been dating the love of my life for about a year, and we even bought a trailer together. A few months ago, I got a surprise call that my girlfriend had a baby, even though she wasn't pregnant to my knowledge." Wow, that's weird. "Turns out during her pregnancy, she still had her period and showed no baby bump. One day she had horrible stomach pains and went to the toilet and nothing was coming out. She kept pushing and pushing and looked down and saw a hand coming out of her. Turns out she was giving birth to a little girl. She called me after, and I thought it was a joke, but after rushing to the house, I saw a newborn in her arms. I started dating her around the time the child was conceived, and she had dated another guy right before. So it could have been either of our child. I had the paternity test done right away, and unfortunately, I was not the father. The other guy refused to step up to take care of the kid, so we did a court order to make him get a paternity test so he would have to start paying child support. After a court fight, the results came in yesterday, finally, and it turns out he isn't the father either. I am so confused right now. What should I do?" Matt, I'll let you take this one.
I think I should pull the next relationship question, because these people that are emailing you have some crazy stories. Like, that, I'm like, are we talking about aliens here? Like, was this thing, you know?
So I actually, this is a cryptic crazy pregnancy. It's called a cryptic pregnancy, Matt. And basically, when a woman has a hormone imbalance, it can prevent her from bloating and not having her period, and you know, having her period even while she's pregnant. So this is really an uncommon occurrence, but it is possible. So it's a really weird situation.
I find that crazy that she wouldn't get big enough to notice. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a wacky story. So I think you and I might actually look at this a little bit differently, based on past conversations. So at the beginning of that story, so I'm starting to hear, you know, that it's, she's kind of with him and another guy at the same time, whatever. So at that point, I'm thinking, you know what? This kid doesn't know anything. It's just born. It needs a life. You need to be the dad. You know, nothing wrong with getting the money from the actual father. That's fine. But you know what? It's not your kid, but it's going to be your kid. If you want to be with her, then that's part of your responsibility. But then when you bring in, it's not either of theirs, ugh, that really makes it complicated. So if I had to give any advice, you know, step back from the situation, the first thing I would say is you need to talk to your girl and figure out, like, what actually happened during this time. You need to figure out whose kid this is and, you know, what is there a reasonable explanation? You know, was it before you and, you know, she had a couple guys she was seeing, or was there something going on that shouldn't have been when you were with her? So that's what you need to figure out, because that will tell you probably if you want to be with her or not. That's going to be the first decision. you're going to have to get past all that if you're going to raise this kid together too. But I mean, the first part is going to be the relationship, because the last thing you want is to be bringing up a kid and you have a toxic relationship at home. So that would be my first piece of advice, would be to try to figure out whose kid he belongs to, or she belongs to, sorry.
Yeah, the dilemma here, this is why I always stress, don't ever move in with someone unless you're either engaged or you're married. Realistically, you know, you're going to be engaged when you move in together. You really need to make that commitment with the person. This is a really weird situation because you got romantically involved with her. She was pregnant when you got with her, okay? So around the time she got pregnant, she was fucking you, and she was fucking her ex, and she was fucking at least one other person, okay? But more than likely, she was probably fucking like 20 different guys, okay? Let's be honest with it, the situation here. So, and for her to jump from one guy to you, that's a red flag, because women are emotionally attached to men. So if she can go from being emotionally attached to him and emotionally attached to you that fast, that's not realistic. It doesn't work like that with women. So I would say in this situation, you have two options on this. I know deep in your heart, you love her or whatever, but I think the best thing that you can do, and I know that you said you bought a trailer with her. Okay, a trailer in Oklahoma probably isn't worth a lot of money. So either cut it loose and just give her the trailer. Be like, look, I'm going to give you the trailer. I'm going to put it in your name. You can have it. I'm out of here. Or option two is sit down with her and be like, look, let's sell the trailer, split the money, and then, you know, let's move on, you know, with our lives, go in separate directions, because I don't want any part of this. You've been with this girl for almost a year and a half now, okay? She's got a 3 or 4 month old daughter that you don't know who the dad is, and it's, you know, it's basically, I think his shock, Matt, is he's finding out that this girl that he's in love with was fucking around a lot. And that's kind of, I think that's why he's kind of upset and confused right now. And, you know, and she probably was making him think that, yeah, it was the ex. And I got pregnant before you. You know, I got conceived right before you when I was with him. Then I was with you. I'm just a one man woman. No. And now you're finding out that she either was cheating on him or she was cheating on you. Because she got pregnant by a third guy somewhere out there. So I think it's a bad situation, Matt. What do you think?
You know what? The more I think about it, I have another thing coming to mind now. So not only was he, like our guy that emailed this in, not only is he banging her unprotected, right? They've only been together, you said, a year and a half, right? It takes 9 months, give or take, to have a baby. So right off the get-go, he's not being careful. She thinks it's her ex. So that tells you that they were also having unprotected sex. Turns out it's another guy, which tells you she's also having unprotected sex with that guy. So now you got three dudes minimum in the course of a very short time that happened. I would be going, and I would be going to get a test to make sure that you don't have any sexually transmitted diseases. That's another thing I'm doing, because clearly there's no protection when it comes to the way this girl thinks. And that's dirty. You know, like, man, we learn about this stuff at such a young age. It's amazing the people that don't give a shit and they just do it anyways. Like, what do you think's going to happen? You know, so, yeah. You know, you're going to end up with a kid or a disease anyways, if you're not careful. So, yeah, I'm now completely on the side of be civil, be nice, because, you know, karma's a real thing. Be, you know, real good about it, but I'd probably, it's time to move on. You got to cut bait.
It's scary because this story can kind of happen to anybody, you know, because you get with someone, you don't know they're pregnant, they don't know they're pregnant. I mean, this is, it's a scary story, and then you find something like this happen. So I would definitely, you know, move on, and even if it means that you lose the money that you had invested in this trailer, I would still move on and move on with your life, bro. I mean, it's not worth it. This is a bad situation waiting to happen. But you know, you got to be smart, and you know, you have to have protection. You know, and birth control, two forms of birth control need to be in place, or you're facing a potential child. So, you know, let this be a lesson to anyone listening. Remember, two forms of birth control. She needs to have a form of birth control. You need to have a form of birth control, or you are opening yourself up to 18 years of child support. So maybe it was a blessing that this isn't your kid. You know, maybe you lucked out on this one, but in the future, you need to be really, really careful, bro. So our next question here, our segment is Fix My Cycle, Bruh. So in this segment, we're going to name a cycle that one of our members submitted, and Matt and I are going to give our separate opinions on how they can improve the cycle. So this guy is 27 years old. He's 6 foot tall, 205 pounds. He doesn't list his body fat. His cycle that he wants to run is 5 weeks of Test E and DECA. And he wants to run them twice a week. He doesn't give the dosages. He just says he wants to run 1 milliliter of each. So if it's 1 milliliter each, it's probably going to be around 200 to 250 Test E. And 200 milligrams of DECA, and he says 2 times a week, Monday and Friday. So I'm going to say that he means that he's going to inject 1 milliliter twice a week. So that's the way I'm interpreting it. So it's going to be about 500 milligrams of test and 400 milligrams of DECA per week for 5 weeks. And then he wants to take a one week break, and then he wants to run 5 weeks of Tren and Masteron with Anavar. And he wants to run 1 milliliter of Tren and 1 milliliter Masteron twice a week. So that probably means if the Tren is 200 milligrams, he probably wants to run, 400 milligrams of Tren and 400 milligrams of Masteron. I don't know. However much the 1 milliliter is. It depends on the lab. And then he wants to run 50 milligrams of FAR every day. His PCT is 25 milligrams of Novodex for 4 weeks. That's the laziest fucking PCT that I've ever seen. And if you think you're going to recover from running DECA, Tren, and Test all in the cycle, then you're in dreamland. So he says that the only reason I did this is because a friend, bodybuilder in parentheses, was doing the same, but seemed to have bad effects on me. So he ran this cycle, and now he's having bad effects during PCT. I mean, the entire cycle is a complete fuck up. So let me, you know, first give my opinion, and then I'll let Matt chime in on the rest. Right off the bat, don't listen to a friend, okay, when it comes to cycling steroids. You need to do your own research. I don't care if your friend is a fucking bodybuilder. I don't care if he's a fucking steroid guru. I don't care who the fuck he is. It don't mean shit, okay? People with good genetics can do stupid shit and get away with it because they have good genetics. All they have to do is just run steroids. It can be any type of steroid. It can be DECA. It can be Tren. It can be Test. It can be VAR. It can be Masteron. All those compounds you want to run, it can be any of that shit. And they'll still get results because they have great genetics, okay? They can train like a fucking idiot and it won't even matter. So just because your buddy did it doesn't mean you will. Now you're regretting it. You're saying you have bad effects. But first off, DECA and Test E, they have long half-lives, all right? The Tessie has 10 to 12-day half-life. The Deka has like a 14, 15-day half-life. So if you're running them for 5 weeks, you're not even getting to enjoy the peak levels of those steroids in your system. They'll be peaking around the week 4, week 5. So by the time they start peaking in your system, you're stopped taking it. Then you take a week off. You call it a break. You're not taking a week off because those esters are still in your system during that week. So it's not going to matter that you take a week off. And then you jump into Tren, Mastron, and Var. So, and then you want to do that for 5 weeks. That doesn't make sense. Even if you're running Tren Ace and Mastron Propionate with the Var, 5 weeks is still too short. Because even with those short esters, you still need to run it at least 6, 7, 8 weeks minimum. Realistically, 8 weeks. So the entire thing is a mess, okay? You're just basically running five compounds. You don't know what you're doing. You're just running them two of them for 5 weeks, taking 1 week off, and then running three compounds for five more weeks. So it doesn't make any sense. I won't even get into the PCT because I know, Matt, you want to chime in. Please help this motherfucker out.
Yeah, it's funny. It sounds like this is the guy that wants to do the let me get jacked in 6 weeks or 5 weeks and then let me cut up in 5 weeks. You know, he wants to go from guy on the couch to Ronnie Coleman in one cycle. You know, so it sounds like he's got a ton of research to do because, I mean, when you start reading about this stuff, I mean, a couple months into it, you're going to realize that that's probably not a good idea. So I'm glad Steve made the point about genetics because his buddy that's getting good results from it, he may be getting 95% of those results just from his training and diet. The steroids are so screwed up. He might only be getting a 5% boost because everything, his hormones are all over the place. He's probably got a shitload of acne all over his body because the side effects are crazy, and he probably thinks, oh, that means the gear's working, right? So now he's mentally, he thinks everything's, you know, in overdrive, and he's pushing so hard. But there's nothing right about that cycle. The key is not to adjust your gear and not to adjust your doses. The key is to adjust your diet. That's what it comes down to. It's so simple. If you're starting a cycle and you realize, you know what, I'm not as lean as I'd like to be. I think I'm adding a little bit too much fat here. Then you just cut your calories. You know, if you really were dead set on that split kind of cycle where I'm going to bulk up and then lean down, adjust your diet. You can run test and DECA the whole time. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Just adjust your calories as you're coming off, you know, your second half of it. So you can really do that. The other thing I just want to mention, because I think this gets forgot with DECA a lot. People always talk about EQ and they say, oh man, you got to run that shit 18, 20 weeks because it's a long ester. DECA and EQ, the half-life is the same time. It's both around 15 days, right? They're not exact, but they're both basically 15-day half-lives. You don't hear guys saying, I got to run DECA 18 weeks, right? But you always hear that about EQ. So just remember, when you're running DECA, it's a very long ester. You know, your test that you're running, I can't remember what it was, but it's probably, you know, between 7 and 10-day half-life. So just remember that. The DECA is even longer. So if we're running something for 5 weeks, it's got a 15-day half-life. And then you take a 1 week break. Well, in 7 days, you're not even at half of a half-life yet. So, you know, you're still, you know, full concentration gear in your system. You know, you're just asking for side effects. And I mean, the PCT, I've never heard. First of all, I don't think I've ever heard of guys taking Novadex at 25 milligrams. It always seems to, you know, fall into the even number, the 20s. So that seems fishy to begin with. Like, I don't know who, you know, where he's getting his stuff from. But, I mean, you don't want to run that that's not going to do anything for you. You're going to come off of that cycle and you're going to feel like shit because that DECA and test is going to be in your system for so long. And then you're going to be trying to come off of the trend and the mast, and that's going to take a while. You got nothing in there to make you feel good, right? He didn't mention anything about, you know, HC Generate ES or anything like that that's going to make you feel good at least. Got no Clomid, right? It's questionable using Nova when you're running Nandrolones anyway. I think he'd be fine in this case, but on its own, that's going to be garbage. So what he needs to do, and I mean, I hope he gets this right away and he can make the adjustments, is go on the forums where you sent us this email and look at the stickies, the perfect PCT. It's the easiest thing to follow. It's laid out step by step. It's going to be the best way. It's going to help you recover the best. It's going to help you feel good while you're recovering, and it's going to help you keep as many of your gains as possible. You know, you run that Nova for 4 or 5 weeks, whatever, you're going to lose everything. It's all going to be gone. And it's going to be so hard for your body to recover and for you to feel okay. I mean, remember, it takes your body to want and to be able to recover. You know, just taking Novadex doesn't, you know, magically make everything work again. That's not how this works. You know, it'll help you land a little softer, we like to say. You know, you'll feel better. You won't, you know, have that, you know, where you, not depression, I don't want, that's a strong word, but, you know, where you're off, you know, your lifts aren't as heavy, you don't feel as, you know, you don't feel as good. So it'll help you with a lot of that. So I'd get on the forums, I'd do that, and I'd get some blood work too, because you got to get things balanced out. You're going to want to know where your, you know, your testosterone is, your estrogen could be crazy out of whack. You know, you're going to want to look at everything else after your PCT. But for now, I would want to get blood work just to kind of have an idea what's going on, get through that PCT exactly how it's laid out. And then about 4 weeks later, get blood work again. And then you got something to compare to and kind of, you know, see what type of progress you've made. And it wouldn't hurt to kind of track. I know JP's a big advocate of these journals, and I think it's a great idea. Track daily how you're feeling and just things you notice, because it's something for you to look back on and learn. I mean, you fucked up. It happens to a ton of people. You just own it and learn from it. So look back. It's great to have some notes on kind of what you dealt with. And then, you know what, you can help some other people that go through stuff like this too.
So we have a couple more segments that we're adding to our podcast. The next one is Fix My Diet, Bruh, and Matt, you got an email.
Yeah, so the email I took this week, the reason I chose this one is because it's kind of the opposite of what we had last week. Last week, we had a guy really struggling with his pre-workout meal, and he wanted to switch it up. This one is about a post-workout meal. So I figured, you know what, let's cover those two time frames. So I'll just read it to you. It says, hey guys, I need some help with my post-workout meal. I have always done the same thing and I always feel like shit after. Basically, I finish my last set and I go mix up my protein shake in the locker room. I don't want to miss my anabolic window and I live 30 minutes from my gym. When I get home, I am still so full I don't end up eating for a few hours until dinner time. Should I continue to hit that anabolic window or look for a different option? Help me fix my diet. Thanks, James. So, lot to it. He didn't say how old he is, but I'm guessing he's a younger guy because it's so ingrained in the younger guys that they got to get the shake in so quick. And so this may not 100% be his fault, right? He may be seeing this in his gym, which I know I do, Steve. I'm sure you do when you go in the locker room. I see guys drinking shakes right after. It's kind of funny. So I'm glad he posted it because it's so common. And I'll personally, for me, after I train, the last thing I want to do is chug a protein shake into my gut because I just you know, busted my ass for give or take an hour. I've probably drank a good amount of water. If I chug a shake like that, it's just going to sit right in my gut. And yeah, you're not going to feel good. I've said this before. I have no issues with lactose or dairy. Never have. But for some reason, whey protein that's a whey concentrate, literally within minutes, I feel terrible and I have to shit. So a lot of these protein powders are not high quality. So that's the first part. The second part is you're obviously trying to grow. And the fact that it's preventing you from being able to eat when you get home, you're missing out on a lot of nutrients and a lot of other foods. We focus so much about protein. I bet you if we took everybody on the forums and asked them what their diet's like, I bet you everybody's eaten way more protein than they probably need. That's what we do, right? We're obsessed. Protein, got to get my protein. That's just what we do. But if you have a shake and you're not eating until dinner, you know, and you're missing a meal there that you need, you're missing out on, you know, your minerals, your vitamins, all the stuff your body needs to function properly. So your body's not going to grow, first of all, if it doesn't get food. And second of all, if it doesn't have the things it needs to be healthy. So that's a big miss there. I'm going to save the anabolic window part for Steve, because I know he likes to talk about whether that's a real thing, whether it's not, and just, you know, how many guys are doing that. But what I would do is I'd stop doing it just because it makes you feel like shit. Regardless of anything else, I say it with a supplement, with anything you're putting into your body. If it makes you feel bad, stop doing it, and you'll learn real quick that obviously that is the problem. If you stop doing it and you still feel like shit, then something else is going on. But the only way to know is to eliminate it. So I will kind of leave it at that for this time.
Yeah, so let me jump in and talk to you guys a little bit about what he's doing and then kind of give you a layout for what you should be doing after your workout. And then we'll let Matt kind of chime in and, you know, say what he does after workout based on his goals. So first of all, the whole anabolic window thing. We know from recent studies, the most updated information, that the whole anabolic window thing is bullshit. Okay? And we know that really from the studies that we've seen, you can eat within 24 hours after your workout, and that's good enough. You don't have to eat within 30 minutes or within 45 minutes or within an hour or between 15 and 45 minutes of your workout. That's all bullshit. The reason for that myth is inspired by the push of protein companies to sell protein powders to people, by the push of gyms to sell $8 smoothies to people, and also by those who use insulin post-workout. Because when you use insulin post-workout, what happens? Your body goes into nutrition partitioning mode. So then that's a perfect time to get in a shake with dextrose to recover your blood sugar levels and to get in that extra protein. So in that instance, yes, there is an anabolic window. But for everyone else who isn't using insulin, there is no anabolic window. There is no, you need to get in protein within this much time. That's a myth. And we know this from recent studies. So having said that, what should this guy be doing after his workout? Obviously, if you're eating or drinking something and it's making you feel like shit, I don't care if it's pre-workout, during workout, after workout, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, whatever. Stop doing it. Your body does not agree with it. And if you keep giving your body something that your body has an intolerance to, you will bloat, you will feel like shit, you'll have bowel movement issues, and it'll be a disaster. And if you have food allergies and your body's telling you it does not like this type of food, If you keep giving it that food, you will weaken your immune system because your body has to work. Your body's immune system is going to have to work in overdrive. So you're just going to make yourself more sick and more prone to illness for the rest of your life. So you need to eliminate shit that makes you sick. Like if you have a gluten intolerance and every time you have gluten, your sinuses flare up, you get inflammation, and you bloat and your stomach bloats. What do you think is happening? Your body is being strained, being put under that strain. Same thing with dairy. If you have dairy intolerance, you have a soy intolerance. Those are very common. Some people have egg white intolerance. Some people have potato intolerance. I don't know. Whatever it happens to be, you need to eliminate it out of your diet. Okay? Now, what is a good post-workout meal? If you're cutting, I like to not eat anything after my workout. I like to just hydrate with a lot of water after my workout and let kind of ride that wave of letting my insulin levels come down, letting my blood sugar come down. That allows my body to not be in storage mode and to actually eat up my fat stores. And then I'll worry about eating later on in the day. 4, 5, 6 hours later, I'll have a well-balanced meal. If you're bulking, a simple post-workout meal, you want to hydrate as well. Have a greens powder. 2 scoops of a good quality greens powder will give you a lot of minerals and vitamins. And then a simple meal like fish, rice, vegetables, or chicken, rice, and vegetables. So fucking simple. And how many calories is a meal like that? 500-600 calories versus going to Chipotle and getting a burrito that's 1,000 calories. Do you see? So you're smartly bulking in that situation. Matt, how about you? What's your strategies?
Yeah, I think something for this guy, because he kind of said it's a few hours before he has dinner. So I think a light meal is going to be his best option. So depending, bulking or cutting, for him, I'd probably get a meal into him because he does seem like a younger guy. So he seems like he's trying to grow. Like, I'm making a lot of assumptions here, but I think it works great for guys like me or Steve to, you know, not eat after training based on our goals. But I think a lot of you guys are, you know, have different goals. I think if you're bulking, I would keep it real simple. I think the idea of a lean protein, chicken or fish is a great option. Egg whites would be another good option with some carbs. You know, not a ton, but you have some, right? Have some brown rice, have some oatmeal, something like that. You know, have a sweet potato. And then I wouldn't go hard on the fats. Instead, I would go with just vegetables. Throw some vegetables in there so you're getting your minerals and vitamins, but keep the fat content basically just the minimal that is already in your meat kind of thing. Save the fatty part for more of your dinner. So that's the way that I do it. And you can, you know, you can play around with it. Eggs are good any time of day. They're so easy to cook, so that's always an option. And then, you know, save the bigger meal for your dinner. Have some salmon, you know, where you're going to get the good fats in at dinner time. And you know, you have more versatility at that point. But post-workout, I think it's important to get some food in when you're trying to build muscle. But so much of this is mental. I think a lot of you guys are stressing yourselves out. You feel like after you train, like until you get food in, you're in like this panic mode, and you don't want to be that way, because what'll happen is that'll lead you to making bad choices. You know, like Steve already mentioned, you'll end up going somewhere, you know, like a fast food restaurant, which is terrible, or getting, you know, just getting home and being like, oh, I don't have time. I'm going to, you know, throw 3 peanut butter sandwiches together. You know, you have time, take your time. A lot of you guys are getting really good with your meal prep. Like, we've given so many ideas. I feel like that's really helping. But if it's a day where, you know, you just don't have anything, take your time. It's fine. Enjoy the cooking. Get a good fresh meal into you, and your body will be much happier. I mean, just remember that your muscles are constantly repairing themselves. It's not like if you don't eat within an hour, you're not going to get any benefits. Just eat when you can. You know, your muscles will take that food and they'll eat it right up and they'll use it to repair. It's an ongoing process. Unless you're only training once a week, you know, a lot of you guys are training 5 days a week. Your muscles are repairing themselves every single day, all night when you're not tearing them down. So just don't panic about this window that doesn't exist.
Yeah, the whole eating after a workout because it helps you recover, it helps you repair, is overhyped bullshit. The best thing you can do after a workout, if you want to know, is sleep. My best gains ever were when I worked out in the morning and then got a nap afterwards. I'd wake up early, work out, nap, and then I'd go to work. I'd nap for like 2 hours. So I'd wake up at 5, work out for an hour, nap for 2 hours, then wake up at 8 and go to work. Work my 9-to-5 job. Best gains I ever had. Then I'd get like 7-8 hours of sleep. You know, that's the best way you can build muscle. So Matt, we have a new segment called Fix My Training, Bruh. And you have an email question.
Yeah, I got a good one here I picked out today. So I'll read it off for you guys. It says, "Hey, Steve and Matt, I've been training for a couple of years now and have made great progress. The issue I have is that my chest and back are nicely developed and big, but my arms are lagging far behind. I have always trained push muscles together and pull muscles together. For example, Monday I do chest and triceps, Tuesday I do back and biceps. Wednesday off, Thursday legs, Friday shoulders and abs. Can you give me a different split or some advice on how to grow my arms? Help me fix my training." Good question. So he's only been in the gym 2 years and he's making progress, which is good to hear. So he's obviously, you know, being somewhat consistent. He's, you know, learning how to eat properly. The fact that he is, you know, he's growing. So that's good to hear. There's a lot of different things you can do here to stimulate that growth. Steve will give you guys some great ideas for arms that nobody talks about. So I'm going to leave that. What I'm going to talk about is I would probably just switch up your split a little bit. That's the first thing I'd do. So I think if you're doing chest and triceps, I would break that for a bit, because maybe what's happening is, you know, you're getting to the gym, you're doing your warm up, and then you're doing like, you know, 5 chest exercises. So by the time you get to triceps, you're already beat. You know, your triceps are already a bit worn out because, you know, you're using them when you're doing your chest exercises too. So maybe separate them or just switch the order. Just do triceps first and then do chest after. You could always do your opposite muscles together. So you could make your split, you could do chest and back together, and then you could do your biceps and triceps together on another day. So that way you got a day specifically dedicated to arms. For me personally, like, what works for me with arm development is high reps and a lot of supersets. I find that when I superset biceps and triceps, I have awesome workouts. I feel, you know, the next day like some soreness, but more like I just know that I killed the muscle. So I like to incorporate that. Anything that's different from what you're doing is gonna really help too. Try some really, really high rep sets, you know. Do something that's, you know, pick a weight and say I'm going to get to 100 reps, however long it takes me. And just go as much as you can, rest a couple seconds, go again until you get to 100. You know, there's a lot of different things you can incorporate when you're just training, you know, the way that you normally do, but adding in different exercises. You can always switch it up with the way that you train.
I like the 3-day split, and the way I would do the 3-day split, because this doesn't put pressure on your shoulders. And you need your shoulders to get in a good arm workout. I'll tell you why in a second. But a good 3-day split would be push, legs, pull, rest. So you do Monday, push, Tuesday, legs, Wednesday, pull, and then Thursday, rest. You got to rest, and then you go back to pushing again. So when you do that, this way you're not doing back-to-back days where you're putting pressure on your shoulders, because a push-pull day back-to-back, you're working your shoulder, overtraining your shoulders too much. And that's a good way to kind of tear your rotator cuff, because half of guys in the gym have some type of rotator cuff tear because they overtrain their shoulders. We all love to work our shoulders and our chest and biceps and all this stuff. And when you do that, a lot of times, a lot of these exercises hammer your shoulders, and we don't want to do that. So the reason I mention shoulders with arms is because the best way to build huge biceps is weighted pull-ups, monkey bar work, okay? Reverse pull-ups, forward pull-ups, wide grip pull-ups, you know, all kinds of pull-up variations. I love to just, like, gymnastics, okay? Like, you ever see those gymnastics? They all have huge biceps, those male gymnastics, even the female gymnastics, because they're using so much of that pull-up, you know? They're able to pull up and do a lot of work on the kind of the monkey bars. And a lot of gyms have a little monkey bar thing that no one ever uses. And this is a huge mistake. If you actually do that, you can actually force your biceps to grow. So try that. Try weighted pull-ups. If you don't have the monkey bar sets at your gym, try the weighted pull-ups where you strap 10 pounds to your waist, then you do 15, then you do 20, then you do 25, and so on. But you don't want to, like, overtrain, because you could end up with elbow tendonitis or shoulder issues. So be careful on that. Another thing with biceps is look at someone like Lee Priest. He's very short-limbed. He's only 5'4". Most people who are going to be short like him are going to be shorter-limbed, and they're going to be stockier. Okay, there are exceptions to that, but for the most part, that's the case. If you're a tall, lanky dude, your muscles are going to be more long and lanky. You know what I'm saying? So you may be like, well, I'm not getting results on my biceps. You know, but that's just your genetics. You're never going to have those shorter, thick, you know, biceps that a guy like Lee Priest has. You're just going to have long, lanky biceps. But other exercises like deadlifts and cleans and stuff like that, you're going to be able to excel at rows because you have long, lanky limbs. And that's going to be beneficial to you with those types of lifts, because that's an advantage. So, you know, work on your weaknesses, but don't stress out over it if genetically you're not destined to ever have huge Lee Priest type biceps. But it doesn't mean you can't work at it.
Yeah, pull-ups, I think the reason people don't do them often is, one, we tend to look down on body weight exercises. And two, it's a very humbling exercise. I want you guys to go out there and just try it and see how many you can do. And I have a feeling you're going to be awfully disappointed with yourself, which is a good thing, because that means you only can go up from there. So it's something you want to do every week, and you want to monitor that you are getting better, because you will. So I challenge you to that. The other thing I'll mention quickly is with arms, we put so much weight on the bicep. Remember, the triceps is the bigger part of the arm. That's the bigger muscles in the arm. And I know it's a different, you don't flex your triceps as, you know, like a guy would in the mirror with his biceps. But if you want your arms to look thick and you want to have big arms, you have to put a lot of focus onto the triceps. And I find a lot of people neglect it. They just do, you know, the same three exercises, and they don't go hard at it. You really need to add in, you know, just like Steve said with the weighted pull-ups, you really need to add in some heavy lifting on top of the accessory. You know, so one thing I really like is a close grip bench press. You can really get some weight on there and you really force them to grow. So just don't neglect the triceps, guys.
So we only have 10 or 15 minutes left of this podcast. We have two more topics that we're going to power through. The next one is testicle shrinkage. And a lot of guys don't quite understand this. A lot of guys will post questions like, I'm on steroids and my balls are shrinking. Oh my God, I'm freaking out. So let's kind of get into why this happens. First off, when you run exogenous hormones, it signals your pituitary glands to stop producing LH and FSH, which is luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone. And that those two hormones signal your Leydig cells, which are your testes, into producing testosterone. So when you're not having those hormones in your system and you're on steroids, those hormones go to virtually nothing. So you're no longer stimulating your Leydig cells. So your balls will shrink. Does your penis shrink? No, your penis does not shrink when you're on steroids, but your balls are likely going to shrink, and that is okay. It's not the end of the world. Now, how can we prevent your testicles from shrinking? You can run Need to Build Muscle sells a product called AC Generate, which has a lot of testicle and libido and erection increasing herbs, and those herbs will actually naturally increase your LH and FSH and stimulate your Leydig cells, so plump up your nuts. If you let your testicles shrink up and then run AC Generate, you'll notice within a week, you're like, shit, my testicles got nice and plump, and that will kind of help with that. But honestly, like, I've never had a girl like tell me, hey, you know, you got small balls. I mean, it's very hard to notice, and even if they do notice, I mean, so what? I mean, who cares? Like Rich Piana used to say, would you rather, you know, want your balls to hang lower than your penis or your penis hang lower than your balls? I mean, which one do you want? So, Matt?
Yeah, like, it's one of those things, guys do panic about it, and then I laugh because, personally, I could care less. It's just part of the game, right? Like, I don't sit there every day when I'm on cycle feeling my balls and being like, oh, are they a little smaller than yesterday? Like, it doesn't really matter. You're shutting down your natural testosterone. You should expect it. The only time I would understand it is if you just started doing a cycle without any knowledge and had no idea, and then you panicked because of it. Yeah, like, you're going to panic at that point, but no, like, it's perfectly normal. I don't think it's a big deal. You can definitely run the HC Generate that Steve mentioned. Like, that's a great option. Don't run HCG. It's ridiculous because, yes, it will do exactly what the supplement does. It will make your nuts bigger. But you have to remember you're also injecting an estrogen. And you don't want to be putting more estrogen into your body. When you're on cycle, it's going to throw off your AI dosage. It's going to just, your side effects could go wacky. If you do it too close to the end or into PCT, you could end up with gyno. You know, you get that estrogen rebound. Like, there's just so many risks with it. So that's the one thing I wouldn't use. And plus, like, do you really want another injection? Like, you know, I think enough is enough at that point. So the only time I would ever have any concern would be if you had like an extreme pain that wasn't going away. I would go have it looked at, because shit happens. You know, you don't want to have something going on down there. I wouldn't necessarily associate that with them, you know, being small. But, you know, if you have an extreme pain, definitely get it checked out. If you have a numb, you know, kind of like a dumb, mild pain, nothing to worry about. I don't get that, but I know it's extremely common. A lot of guys do when they first get into their cycle and it's slowly shutting down. And also a lot of guys will get that little bit of pain coming into their PCT as they're starting to recover. So just a mild pain, nothing to worry about. But if it's severe, have it looked at. Other than that, I wouldn't think twice about it. It's not a big deal.
Final question, Matt, was sent to you.
Yeah, I lost the email, so I'll do my best to summarize what it was. But basically, the guy, I've heard of this a few times, and I'm not sure why doctors think it's okay to do this. Maybe I just don't understand, to be honest, because this isn't the first time I've heard it. But basically, the guy, he's got low testosterone, and his doctor put him on TRT. But here's the trick. The doctor put him on TRT for 12 weeks. This is where it's different to me. So he's been on it a few weeks, and he's already had improved libido and improved erections, which is awesome, right? That shows the low testosterone really was causing the issues. So his main question is, when I come off of my TRT, am I going to still have the benefit of, you know, my libido strong and my erections are strong again, or am I going to lose it and kind of go back to where I was? It's a really good question, and I'm, you know, glad he asked, because this is just, I don't understand the concept of TRT for 12 weeks, because I'll speak for me. I'm not a doctor, but in my opinion, makes complete sense that he's feeling better and having positive results, right? He has low testosterone, so now he's getting a proper dose to replace what he should be making. So he's kind of back to normal, in quotes, right? So he's feeling good about himself. The thing I don't understand is, after those 12 weeks, when he stops it, it's going to be, in my opinion, worse than before, because now the hormones are going to be leaving his body. So it's going to go right down to shit right to begin with. But, you know, best case scenario, which isn't good, best case scenario, he's going to go back to how he was before this TRT, because he's only going to be able to recover to where he was at that point. Like, I can't see him recovering to a normal testosterone level after running basically a low dose cycle. Doesn't make sense. So honestly, like, I think it's going to be worse, because his body's going to really try to recover, but it's not going to be able to do it. Clearly he wasn't able to, you know, produce enough testosterone on his own before. So it's very puzzling to me. I would probably get a new doctor, or at least get a second opinion while you're still seeing this doctor, because it just seems completely counterproductive. Like, I know there are doctors that will, and this is very common here, like kind of where I live, but they seem to want to put you on Clomid first because they think that's going to do it. And then they'll put you on TRT afterwards. So I've heard that a lot, but the idea of running actual exogenous testosterone, that's only going to hurt your recovery. So if you're trying to recover your own body's natural testosterone, that's not the way to do it. I would think he's probably, in the end here, just going to end up on TRT for life, the way it's meant to be. But I can't see this. Like, Steve, do you see any positive after the 12 weeks is done? Am I missing something?
Well, a couple points on this. Number one, just because your doctor puts you on a certain drug or hormone or whatever doesn't mean you automatically go and do it. You need to do your own research on that shit. You know, because most of the time, doctors really don't know what they're doing, especially on this topic. They have no fucking clue. All right. And they just put you on any cookie cutter program and whatever. And, you know, you're going to come back at some point and they're going to put you on some other cookie cutter program and the cycle continues. You know, it's just a nonstop issue. Also, another thing is, you know, some people have this belief that if they run a hormone for 12 weeks and they get their testosterone levels up, then they stop taking the hormone, that the body will somehow get tricked into producing testosterone. I've had people tell me that before. Guys, the body is smart, okay? You're not going to trick the body. When you run exogenous hormone, you shut down your pituitary glands. Your pituitary glands say, we have too much hormone, let's shut down. So this guy is shutting down his pituitary glands for 12 plus weeks. Okay? And then when he comes off, his testosterone levels are just going to crash back down. So it really makes no sense. I would want to know, what were your test levels before? Okay? If you had 600, your test levels were at 600, and you go on TRT and your test levels are like 600, 700, 800, which is a TRT level, then you basically just shut your own test down to replace it with injecting test. Makes no sense at all. So I want to know what you were before. If you had low testosterone and you're older guy and you've exhausted all remedies of changing your lifestyle and reducing stress and getting more sleep at night and all that other good stuff, and you still have low testosterone, just get on TRT for life. Enough is enough. You know, it's not worth it to play these games. And basically, you know, ask questions. Ask your doctor, hey, why did you put me on this shit for 12 weeks? What are we accomplishing here? And sometimes doctors, they'll become assholes with you. They don't like to be questioned. And if that's the case, then you need to find a new doctor. You find a doctor who listens to you. You find a doctor who knows what they're doing. And you find a doctor that you can trust. Because you shouldn't be coming on a forum with these concerns. Your doctor should be alleviating these concerns with you and sitting down and talking to you. But our medical system is so fucked up that doctors spend like 3 or 4 minutes with you talking. That's it. And they can write you a prescription based on, you know, a trial and error, you know. And it's a shame. They're more worried about their golf game. They're more worried about their tennis match. They're more worried about alimony that they're paying to their ex, and they're more worried about their child support, and they're more worried about paying their yacht payment for the month, okay? And so you can't fucking trust doctors, okay? You have to do your own research on this stuff and never, ever just listen to a doctor when they tell you, I'm going to do this. You need to ask questions and find out what is the method to the madness. Anything else to add, Matt, before we close up?
Yeah, I'd be curious to know if the doctor did suggest any lifestyle changes at all, because this guy didn't give us stats or anything that I can remember. So, you know what can cause low testosterone, bad erections, low sex drive? Being obese is a good one. Smoking is another really good one. A really shitty diet will do it. Poor heart health and circulation will do it. So we can't rule out those things either. Those could be major factors in this, because even a guy that's, you know, obese and having all these problems, if his testosterone is low due to his lifestyle and his obesity, by him injecting testosterone, you know what? It is still going to work. It's going to work the same as just a guy that's, you know, healthy, in shape, that can't produce testosterone. It's going to have those same effects because he's still dealing with the same thing. But if he's able to correct it on his own, you know, that's where there's a big miss in healthcare, right? It should be healthcare, not sick care. You should be trying to get people to get healthy. And by, you know, making some of those lifestyle changes, they can have a major impact. I'm not talking like minor, you know, like he's going to increase his testosterone a little bit. If he's, you know, obese and drinking and smoking and all these things added together, it can be an astronomical, you know, effect. So that's another thing. Definitely, we didn't touch on that, but take a look at the lifestyle stuff first.
Great show. We hope you all have a fantastic Thanksgiving and enjoy it. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening.